Hey, welcome to After Class. Tim and Trudy talking about Sunday's lesson on expression, talking. You can do that out loud.
The express train.
All aboard. Yeah. On the train, the difficult conversation express. And really three questions in the lesson. One we ask ourselves, do I deserve to get on board? And then what do I express? And really didn't explicitly say how do I do it, but it's kind of in there in the points that we covered.
Yeah.
And so where do we start? I think, as in all of this, as I go through this and reading through the material and then delivering the material, I think in every part of this, I keep saying, oh, I don't do that well.
Yeah, right. Me too.
And this one for me is more obvious. I tend not to be a talker. And as we talked about, it's not just talking. It's expressing everything about how you feel and how you see things. And
Clearly
and conveying all directly, of that
right.
Directly is the big one that I think... I tend to shy away from. And so, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. In fact, I had a conversation just this past week with somebody, and it reminded me of this. It reminded me of our whole lesson. That's what kind of got the conversation rolling as I was talking about the series that we were going through, because he's not part of our class or anything. And he made the comment, and it kind of ties in what I talked about before, about we can't control somebody's response. So quit trying to set the conversation up so that they respond in a way that's not going to make you feel uncomfortable. But you kind of tied that in too when you were talking about say what you mean, be definite, and don't just imply. And that was one of the things that he was talking about, how he does on a pretty regular basis, was because he doesn't want the other person to get upset, or he doesn't want, he wants a favorable response. So he'll carefully word things in a way so that that's the outcome. And I was trying to share a little bit of our class and saying, but that's not your job. That's in essence what you're doing is you're controlling and you're manipulating. You're doing it to protect yourself. In a way, that's part of it. Part of it is sometimes we do it because we want to get our way. Usually it's because we want to be prepared for the best possible response. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the wisest way to, it seldom is the wisest way to communicate.
And I think that's a lot of times why we don't get to the expression of everything, because we're trying to find that perfect way. We're trying to...
Well, we're not only trying to figure out the best way for us to say it, we're combining that with the best way for them to say it, something back to us. So we're trying to do our work and their work too, oftentimes when we're communicating.
Yeah, we work through the whole conversation of, okay, I say this, then that means they're going to say this. So what do I say?
Yeah,
what do they do?
Yeah.
And how do I cut that off so they don't say that? And we go through the whole thing, yeah. Saying what you mean to me probably was one of the things that kind of stood out to me. Start with what matters most, say what you mean. I think those are both important.
Yeah, start with, and I don't know that we typically would start with what matters most. We want to work our way into what matters most. Do you think that most people, when we're having difficult conversations, we don't start with what matters most? We start with the softer stuff, the easier stuff, and work our way up to the hard. And then a lot of times what would happen is the thing that matters most gets kind of lobbed in after everything else, instead of it protecting. It's sort of like a preacher preaching a sermon with too many introductory comments, and then the really meat of what they have to say is kind of rushed at the end and is often missed. I think that's sort of what happens when we have these difficult conversations.
And some of that could be self-sabotage that we talked about, that we kind of maybe do that on purpose. Other part of it is, we're trying to get into it so soft. And then the conversation becomes about all those lead-in things instead of what matters
most. Yeah, you've muddied the water with all of that. You've taken up brain space with stuff that really didn't need that.
Yeah.
So I have a question because I'm looking at my notes that I wrote through class, and now I don't remember why you said this near the end where you're saying, ask how they see it differently. Mm-hmm. And you were saying, don't say, you know, does that make sense or would you agree? Instead, you should be saying, how do you see it differently? Now, I understand the would you agree. That's kind of manipulative. That's setting them up to like what you like and to think the way you're thinking. But does that make sense? I say that all the time, and I can't remember now. I'm sure I heard it and it clicked in class, but now looking at my notes, I don't remember why that was not a good thing. Because to me, I'm working so hard to be clear or to make sure it's clear and know that I'm communicating, and so I will often end it with, you know, well, does that make sense? You know, or do you understand that? Is that clear? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
Well, I think it's in the same vein of wouldn't you agree? Does that make sense?
No.
It invites. It kind of pushes for a positive answer. It pushes for a, well, sure, that makes sense.
Well,
but you don't get to, how do you see it differently? It doesn't, I guess this part of it is inviting them. When you say ask how they see it differently, invite them. You want to know there is some, you're explaining how you see it. You're explaining everything about it, you know, how you feel and all the different things. Yeah, you want to know if they understand what you're saying. But the real question there is,
as long as it's followed by the other. The first part of the, does that make sense, isn't such a bad thing, because you do want to make sure they understand that. But it needs to be followed with, do you see it differently, or how do you see it differently? Maybe not, do you see it differently, because that can be kind of defensive.
No, not.
How do you see it differently?
No, how do you see it differently? And I kind of, I'd probably have to go back and look at my longer notes, which I probably should have done before this, because there was a lot more to that thought. And I did in this thought what I told you not to do, which was oversimplify, because I was running out of time to explain it.
Well, that one just struck out for me because I do recognize
just kind
it.
Of,
I'd say that.
It's with the thing. It's asking for, almost asking for agreement there. Do you understand that? Well, yeah, I understand.
I understand, but that doesn't mean I have to agree.
But
I'm defending my common statement. Mm-hmm. I can tell that's what I'm doing. But I mean, yeah. I do. I say that a lot because I want to make sure I'm communicating clear and that it's understood. I'm not asking for you to agree with me. I'm just wanting to make sure that I've communicated clear enough that you're able to understand.
And so I guess that's fine, but you have to go to the next step.
Yeah. Okay.
Ask.
I get that.
And probably the one little piece I left out of there that I didn't take time for was ask how they see it differently and why. You know, why, how do you see this differently and why?
That was kind of where you talked about share where your conclusions originate. That's sort of the why. You're stating how you feel, but then you're also asking, you know, where did those thoughts come from? You know, where?
Yeah, but this is after you've shared your story. Mm-hmm. I mean, the before was more when you're sharing where your part of it originates, and now you're asking after they've heard you if they see it differently. How do you see it differently, and why do you?
Okay.
Where do your things originate?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So.
Trying to remember all this—that's the hard part.
Yeah, I think if you grab one or two things and, you know, begin to try to put them into practice, I think as we've gone through this, there's been different things that I've kind of, as you get to different conversations, you go, I know. I know there was a conversation yesterday, where I thought was in myself, okay, my reaction internally, what's this pressing on here?
Yeah.
What part of my identity is this pressing
on? Yeah.
And
And isn't that wonderful, though, that the Holy Spirit doesn't pile a whole bunch of stuff on us to address all at one time? He just sort of taps on one or two things that he wants us to pay attention to work through and to grow and to mature and to be more lovely in those areas. And
that's kind of where I was thinking at the end of this, was recognizing that actually what I, the material I was reading had said, you are the ultimate authority on you. And my instant note that I made was, no, you're not. You are not the ultimate authority on you. God is the ultimate authority on you. He made you, knew you before you were born, knew you how he created you in your mother's womb. So he has everything about you in mind. But the great part about that is, and as we talk about different biases, we talk about different blind spots. We've talked about those in this class over the years, the blind spots and the biases that we hold that we're not aware of. God's aware of all of them.
Yeah.
And his Holy Spirit can help us, you know, kind of knock on our heart's door and go, hey,
pay attention to this.
Wake up.
Yeah.
So, but secondarily, yeah, we are, after that, we are God's voice. We are his expression. Mm-hmm. And so we should not let somebody else dictate to us that idea of who we are.
Yeah.
So anything else there that stood
that's
out?
The main ones.
Popped
good
up
lesson.
To you? I think we may do one more lesson on this because we really haven't put it all together. I mean, we've got all the pieces now. And so we may do one little more thing.
Right.
After our class party.
Right. So we've got a change in schedule for the month of December. The next two Sundays are all church events, so there are no Sunday classes. And then we'll have our class party on the 22nd, which is just eating and fellowship. So there will be no lesson or after class podcast. So it'll be on the 29th when we resume back together again for just the conclusion to end out the year.
Yeah. Okay. So we hope to see you there at the class party on the 22nd. And then afterwards, throw some questions our way. If you have anything that we need to clarify about this series, anything we've talked about.
Or ways God's been challenging you through this.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks. We'll see you.